All right, so today we're taking a deep dive into injection molding.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, it might not sound like the most thrilling topic at first glance,
Right.
but trust me, once you get into it,
It's fascinating.
yeah, it's like this hidden world of precision and artistry.
Absolutely.
And we've got a stack of technical articles about injection molding that we're going to kind of go through and pull out
Yeah.
the most important
And
nuggets.
good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, so our mission today
Today.
is to give you a clear understanding of this thing called back pressure in injection molding.
Okay.
We're going to figure out what it is, why it matters, and how to adjust it for better product quality.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So you ready to jump into this?
Absolutely, I'm ready.
All right. So first things first, what exactly is back pressure?
Okay, so back pressure, it's basically the resistance that the screw encounters.
This is Greek.
Yeah,
Okay.
while it's pushing that molten plastic into the mold.
Okay.
So you can kind of think of it like
So,
squeezing a tube of toothpaste. Yeah.
a little bit of resistance
Yeah.
ensures that the paste comes out
Smooth,
smooth and consistent, right?
yeah.
That's kind of what back pressure does for the molten plastic.
So it's not just about forcing it in there,
Right.
there's finesse.
Exactly. Finesse.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah.
So why is back pressure so important then?
Okay, well, there's a few key reasons why it's so crucial.
All right, clear.
Okay, so first, it helps to compact the melt.
And compact the milk.
Yeah.
Okay.
And by doing that, it kind of squeezes out any gases that might be trapped in there,
Okay.
which reduces the chances of having those little bubbles or voids in your final product.
So that's what causes those little bubbles.
Yeah, those little imperfections.
Oh, okay,
All
interesting.
right. Second,
Yeah.
back pressure contributes to uniform plasticization.
Uniform plasticization.
Yeah. So basically, it ensures that the melted plastic has a consistent viscosity,
Okay.
which leads to more stable physical properties in the final product.
Oh, that makes
Yeah.
sense. And third, it helps with even additive distribution.
Additives, so
Yeah, like
they're.
pigments or other things that you might be mixing into the plastic.
Okay.
So with proper back pressure, you're going to get a nice even mix, which means a more uniform color.
Oh, so it's not just about the plastic itself.
No.
It's about everything that goes into it.
It's about making sure it's all mixed really well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've talked about why back pressure is important, but how do we know how much is enough
Right.
or too much?
Right.
Is there like a magic number or what?
It would be nice if there was a magic number,
Right.
but unfortunately, it's not that simple.
Okay.
It really depends on the material you're working with.
Okay. So different plastics need different back pressures.
Yeah, different plastics have different
Okay.
characteristics.
So walk me through that.
Okay, so let's start with those plastics that have high fluidity.
High fluidity. Yeah.
Yeah, things like polyethylene, that's PE,
PE. Okay.
polypropylene, PP. These guys, they flow really easily, almost like,
Like honey.
yeah, like honey.
Okay.
They don't need a lot of back pressure, typically something between 0.5 and 2 MPa.
Mega. What was that again?
Megapascals.
Megapascals.
MPa.
Okay. MPa.
Yeah.
Got it.
Then you have the plastics that are a little more,
Stubborn.
yeah, a little more stubborn, less fluid,
Okay.
more sensitive to heat, things like polycarbonate or PC,
PC.
polyamide, PA.
Got it.
These guys need a bit more persuasion.
More pressure.
Yeah, typically between 2 and 5 MPa.
Okay.
And it's not just about preventing those bubbles and voids. It's about making sure the plastic melts evenly
Right.
so you don't end up with inconsistencies in the final product.
Okay, so it sounds like finding the right back pressure is a bit of a balancing act.
Yeah.
You got to know your material, you got to find that sweet spot. So,
It's.
how do we actually do that?
Yeah, how do we find the sweet spot?
Yeah.
Well, it involves a bit of trial and error.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we got to get our hands dirty.
A little bit.
Right, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay, great.
But before we jump into that, I think we need to take a quick break.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back after this.
Right.
To dive into the practical steps of adjusting back pressure and really fine-tuning that injection molding process.
Yes, stay tuned.
All right, see you in a bit.
So you're ready to get your hands dirty and actually adjust the back pressure.
Yeah, let's dive into the practical stuff. What's step one?
First, you got to find the back pressure adjustment. It's usually like a knob or a setting in your machine's control panel.
All right, found it. So do I just crank it up?
Not so fast. You got to remember those material ranges we talked about.
Oh, right, the 0.5 to 2 MBA for PE and
Yeah,
stuff.
exactly. Start there. Think of it like setting your oven temperature.
Okay, got it. Baseline first, then what?
Then you run a trial production and pay close attention.
Okay, I'm picturing myself with a magnifying glass looking for flaws.
Exactly. You're looking for those clues. Bubbles, shrinkage, any weirdness.
So bubbles mean I need more pressure.
It could. It means the plastic needs a little help getting rid of air.
Okay, and if I see those flow marks or if the part is tough to get out?
That might mean too much pressure. You gotta dial it back a bit.
So we're looking for that Goldilocks zone.
Yeah, exactly. Not too much, not too little, just right.
Got it. So I tweak it, run another trial, keep going till it's perfect.
You got it. Small adjustments. Watch carefully. Don't go crazy.
Okay, slow and steady. But we're not just messing with back pressure, right?
Right. Remember, it all works together.
The screw speed, the injection pressure, mold temperature, that whole orchestra.
Exactly. If you change the back pressure, you probably got to adjust those other things too.
So it's a constant dance, finding the right balance.
It really is. And here's where it gets even trickier. Some plastics, well, they have strong personalities.
Oh, I like a good challenge.
What do you mean? Okay, say you're working with polycarbonate. You've got your back pressure set. Everything looks good, but you get some weird discoloration.
Hmm. So maybe not enough pressure. It needs more mixing.
Maybe. But remember, polycarbonate is sensitive to heat.
Oh.
Too much. And you degrade the material.
Oh, right. Like cooking a souffle too hot, it falls apart.
Exactly. So maybe instead of more back pressure, you tweak the mold temperature or the cooling time.
So it's not just about one setting. It's about understanding how it all connects.
Exactly. Sometimes the solution isn't obvious. You got to think about the whole system.
Okay, this is getting pretty deep. But it's cool.
Yeah, it's a lot more to it than people realize.
So we've talked about adjusting everything, but what about documentation?
Oh, that's crucial. You got to write down your settings.
Like a recipe for perfect injection molding.
Exactly. So you don't have to start from scratch every time.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Consistency is key, right?
Absolutely. That way you get the same results every time.
Less headaches down the road.
Mm.
Okay, that's a great tip.
And now, here's something really cool. What if we could use these same ideas to actually change the properties of the plastic itself?
Wait, what? Change the plastic just by changing the settings?
Yeah, it's not just about shaping it. It's about influencing its internal structure.
Okay, hold on. My mind is blown. How did that work?
Think back to that car bumper. We can make it strong in some areas, flexible in others.
Yeah, you were saying that before the break. How do we do that?
It's all about controlling how the plastic flows. Back pressure, injection speed, mold temperature, all of it.
So we can create, like, super strong zones.
Exactly. And then other areas where it's more flexible, better at absorbing impact.
But how do you control it that precisely?
We're talking about special gates and channels inside the mold, like a miniature plumbing system.
Whoa, that's crazy. So it's way more than just turning a knob.
Yeah, it's like designing a whole system from the plastic molecules up.
And we can do all this with normal, everyday plastics.
Yep, it's the process that makes the difference.
This is amazing. What else can we do with this?
Medical implants, tennis rackets, running shoes. You can customize the properties for anything.
So it's not just mega corporations that can do this.
Not anymore. We have software now that can simulate the whole process.
So we can test and refine things virtually.
Exactly. You can see how the product will turn out before you even make it.
That's incredible. But what about us humans? Are robots taking over?
I think it's more like teamwork. Humans still have the ideas, the creativity.
So we design the products, and the machines help us make them perfectly.
Exactly. And we still need to oversee everything, make sure the quality is good.
Okay, that makes sense.
Mm.
This whole conversation has been mind-blowing. Injection molding is way more than just making plastic parts.
It really is. It's a powerful tool for innovation.
So where do you see this going in the future? What's next?
One thing I'm really excited about is sustainability. Imagine using recycled plastics to make even better products.
That's awesome. And what about smarter products?
Definitely. Imagine products that can adapt to their environment or even heal themselves when they're damaged.
Self-healing plastics. Wow. It sounds like there are no limits.
I think you're right. We're just getting started.
Well, that wraps up our deep dive into injection molding. We've gone from back pressure basics to the future of smart plastics. Thanks for joining me on this journey.
It's been a pleasure.
And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. We hope you've learned something new and are as excited about the possibilities of injection molding as we are. Until next time, keep exploring and keep those creative gears turning. Okay, so before we were talking about how we can change the actual properties of plastic just by changing the settings on the injection molding machine.
Yeah, it's like we're not just shaping the plastic, we're kind of engineering it from the inside out.
So how does that work with that car bumper example we were talking about? How do we make some parts super strong and others more flexible if it's all the same plastic?
Well, it's all about controlling the flow.
The flow of the plastic.
Yeah, exactly. By adjusting things like the back pressure, the injection speed and the mold temperature, we can basically pack the plastic molecules really tightly together in certain areas.
And that makes those areas stronger.
Exactly, like little super strong zones right where you need them.
And then in other areas,
we can do the opposite. Give the molecules more space to move around, make them more flexible so they can absorb impacts better.
So it's like we're creating a custom blend of strength and flexibility, all within the same piece of plastic.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you think about it.
It is, but yeah. How do we actually control the flow that precisely? Is it really just as simple as turning a few knobs on the machine?
No, it's a lot more sophisticated than that. It's more like we're designing a whole system inside the mold.
A system.
Yeah, with these little gates and channels that direct the flow of plastic exactly where we want it to go.
So it's like a tiny plumbing system inside the mold.
Exactly. And then by adjusting the injection speed and mold temperature, we can fine-tune how the plastic cools and hardens, which also affects its properties.
It's like we're conducting a whole orchestra of factors to get the exact results we want.
Yeah, a symphony of plastic.
I like it.
And the coolest part is we can do all this with regular everyday plastics.
Really? So it's not some special kind of plastic. It's all about the process.
The process is key.
That's amazing. Okay, so we can do car bumpers. What else? What other cool stuff can we do with this kind of control?
Oh, man. The possibilities are endless, really.
Give me some examples.
Okay. Medical implants?
Medical implants. Okay.
We can design them with tiny holes that allow bone to grow into them so they heal better.
Wow, that's incredible.
Or how about tennis rackets with specific areas that are stiffer or more flexible depending on whether you want more power or more control?
Okay. I'm starting to see how this could be used for pretty much anything.
Yeah, and it's not just limited to big companies anymore either.
Really?
Yeah, we have this really cool software now that can simulate the entire injection molding process.
Oh, wow. So you can test things out virtually before you even make anything?
Exactly.
That's so cool.
It helps you figure out all the settings and get the perfect results without wasting any time or materials.
See, even smaller companies can use this technology.
Yeah, it's becoming more and more accessible.
That's great. So what about the human element in all this? Are we all going to be replaced by robots?
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
I think it's more about humans and machines working together.
A partnership.
Yeah, humans are still the ones coming up with the ideas, designing the products, pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
And the machines help us make those ideas a reality.
Exactly. And we still need humans to oversee the whole process. You know, make sure things are running smoothly and troubleshoot any problems that come up.
So it's not about replacing humans. It's about augmenting our abilities.
I think that's a great way to put it.
This whole conversation has been amazing. I'm really starting to see injection molding in a whole new light.
It's a fascinating field, isn't it?
It really is.
Always changing and evolving.
So speaking of evolving, where do you see this technology going in the future? What's next?
That's a good question. One thing I'm really excited about is using recycled plastics to create even stronger, more durable products.
So we can be more sustainable.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think we're also going to see more smart product that can adapt to their environment or even heal themselves when they're damaged.
Like self-healing plastics.
You heard that right?
That's crazy.
The future's going to be wild.
It sounds like it.
But the possibilities are endless.
Well, that's a wrap on our deep dive into injection molding.
It was fun.
It was. I learned a lot.
Me too.
And to our listeners, thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the journey and maybe learned something new along the way. Until next time, keep exploring and stay curious.